be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever denies me before others will be denied before the angels of God. Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When they take you before synagogues and before rulers and authorities, do not worry about how or what your defense will be, or about what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that moment what you should say. The Gospel of the Lord. Completing the first week of our four-week biennial gift of the pondering of the letter to the Romans, which the whole thrust is to help us to learn to live by faith, to adjust ourselves to God, to become truly righteous by the gift of the Holy Spirit flowing through a life of faith working in love. If we didn't have the Feast of St. Luke yesterday, we would have had a gospel passage in which Jesus was describing how we are not to fear those who can kill the body but can't do any more harm, but rather to fear the one who could cast both body and soul into Gehenna, to fear God, in other words, who's the only one who can do that, but not to fear him in a servile way as if we're frightened, because he has numbered every follicle on our head and cares for us more than all the sparrows. And so we're to have that focus on God. That's what Jesus was saying, which is something that helps us to learn how to live by faith. The huge problem for St. Paul with the Judaized Christians and the Pharisees in general who had influenced the Judaized Christians is that their faith was fundamentally about them rather than about God. They were focused on their own works of the law, their own dutifulness, their own completion, in a way that would lead them to pride. What St. Paul wanted was to have them focus on God, to recognize God's action in their life, and then because God is always acting in their life, to learn how to respond in faith throughout their life, so that their actions would be coming by God's working in them rather than by their own power. Today, St. Paul advances the argument when he has us focus more on Abraham, our father in faith. Abraham was one who, having believed in God, behaved always as if he had believed in God. So when God asked him to do something crazy, at 75, pack up everything and go to a land, he wasn't even telling him where it would be, but to just go to a place he would eventually be shown. Abraham believed in such a way that he told all his family members, we're going, even though they would have thought he was an old crazy geezer. But off he went. He believed that God would make him not just a dad, but the father of many nations, even when the next year Sarah hadn't conceived, nor the next, nor the next, nor the 24th, until the 25th. Continue to believe when the son of the promise, Isaac, at 13, was asked to be sacrificed, because he knew even should he slay Isaac, God would raise Isaac from the dead, because he was the son of the promise through whom Abraham would become the father of many nations. We see in Abraham faith flowing through life. And that's why St. Paul finishes, he is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. For us to become true sons and daughters of Abraham, we are summoned to have a faith like his and to become righteous by that faith, to adjust ourselves to God and everything God's asking. Once we have this type of faith, we can't keep it to ourselves. We want to share it. We want to help others to learn about that same love of the Lord. And that brings us to the gospel. Jesus tells us that if we acknowledge him before others, he will acknowledge us before the angels of God. But if we deny him before others, he will deny us before the angels of God. He acts in our life. We're called to respond in faith. To respond in faith means in everything we do to give witness to the fact that God is acting in our life. He's acting in the world. He's loving us. If we live by that type of faith, that faith will lead us to eternal life. But if we deny that faith in action, we're choosing to deny God in action. And that's already the path of hell. To acknowledge God before others is itself not our own action. That's why Jesus will say, the Holy Spirit will teach you at that moment what you are to say. Because we shouldn't worry, because God will be acting still, even in those supreme moments. We have to have confidence. We have to have faith in God's acting, not just in the good times, but in the worst imaginable time. This promise of Jesus about the Holy Spirit's action is preceded by a warning, we could say, about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. So many of the people of Jesus' contemporaries were saying bad things about him. He was able to forgive that all because they were acting out of ignorance. But to act against the Spirit of God was to act against God working in their life. One who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Not because God doesn't want to forgive, but because in this circumstance God can't forgive. The Catechism, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, is always rendered as impenitence. Somebody who refuses to acknowledge that he sinned, or somebody who refuses, knowing he has sinned, to come to ask for God's forgiveness. Or third, someone who doesn't think God can forgive him what he has done. But in each of the three circumstances, God won't forgive because he can't, because this person just doesn't open himself up to receive that mercy. We could extrapolate on the principle. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit in life is someone who believes that he doesn't need God's help or doesn't ask for God's help when he realizes he needs it or thinks that God just won't help him. When we have that confidence that God the Holy Spirit wants to help us, when we ask for it, when we humbly begin to cooperate with it, that's when even in the worst possible circumstances, we will acknowledge God before others, acknowledge that he's still alive even when everything else seems to be going to hell. That's a proper introduction to the life of the North American martyrs whom we celebrate today. Cooperated with the Holy Spirit in giving witness to Jesus. They were men of true faith, faith that was consequential. They were men whose lives permitted God truly to shine. We name two of the eight North American martyrs in this feast. First is Jean de Brebeuf, who arrived in French Canada. New France, as it was called, to preach the gospel among the Hurons. What an incredible priest he was, dragging his canoe over mountains and down into riverbeds and across, and worked for 3 whole years and didn't gain a single convert. He was acknowledging God every single day and yet seeing no fruit. When the English took over that area, he had to go back to France. But 4 years later, when France reobtained this area of eastern Canada and northern New York, he was on the first boat back. Eventually, after some work he had baptized a couple hundred. But then the Iroquois invaded that Huron village that had become Christian. And they tortured him in incredible ways. I'm not going to go through all of it because I still remember last year when I did it. Sister Pia Jude over across town just couldn't get the thoughts out of her mind. But I'll save all the incredibly brutal sadism except the end. When, despite all the ways that they were torturing him, he continued to acknowledge God. He continued to strengthen the newly baptized in their faith, so much so that they had to plug up his mouth. And that didn't work. So they had to rip off his lips. He just couldn't stop witnessing. And eventually it was to his last heartbeat. They did a vivisection to take out his warm heart so that they could drink his warm blood, because he was so valiant in giving witness to God before others. It was the Holy Spirit who made him that strong. Isaac Jogues is equally as powerful a witness. He had come in 1636, worked for a while, with some success, a few hundred. But then the Iroquois attacked his village, brutally treated him, eventually bit off his fingertips. And he was rescued by the Dutch after he'd been made a slave and was sent back to France. He was received both with pity and as a hero. He needed to ask special permission of Pope Urban VIII because the rubrics said you're supposed to hold the Eucharist with your fingertips. And he didn't have any left. So he needed a dispensation to be able to hold the host in his hand as it was consecrated rather than in his fingertips. Pope Urban said famously, the martyr who has given his blood for Christ should be able to drink the chalice of Christ's blood. So he was able to celebrate Mass there in France, inspiring so many with his courage. But then the opportunity presented itself for him to return to New France, and here he came. Eventually made his way to Orrisville, New York, where the Iroquois attacked his village, tomahawked him, and then hung his head to try to scare away people from converting. But his blood irrigated that soil, and almost 10 years to the day after his death, Kateri Tekakwitha was born in that same village. And continued that torch of faith. The one who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. So great was the faith of these men that we have this morning's breviary lesson, in which Jean de Brebeuf was begging God for the grace of martyrdom, because he recognized it was a gift to have the awesome privilege to give witness to God in death, in the same way that one seeks to give witness to him in life. And he was granted that grace. And from heaven, he, Isaac, and their companions continue to acknowledge God still. The Lord remembers his covenant forever. He is constantly acting in the world. The one who lives by faith is the one who recognizes that action and cooperates with it. Here at Mass, the Holy Spirit, who will testify with us, comes down upon us to strengthen us. We receive Jesus' martyrdom within. Pay attention to the prayer over the gifts which we're about to pray, in which we talk about Isaac and John and their companions being strengthened toward martyrdom by the martyrdom of Christ, which wasn't merely exemplary, but was active in them, given them courage from within. As we consume that same Jesus, he will give us strength within to acknowledge him always. Praise be Jesus Christ.